Welcome to the FFS and NFL Draft Preview Show. My name is Jeremy Betts. I'm joined by Andrew Wilbar to break down all things NFL Draft. In this episode, we are going to be breaking down in detail the NFC North and what their early draft plans could be after the first couple waves of free agency. If you missed it, go back and listen to our AFC North podcast on this very same topic, breaking down all four teams in the AFC North and what positions they could try to pursue early in the NFL draft after their free agency additions. Andrew, let's welcome you in here and get to talking about the NFC North. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, and I'm excited to talk about this division because you got some up-and-coming teams. Everyone knows about the Lions now. That disappointing loss, they should have had an opportunity to be in the Super Bowl, and they blew it. We'll see if they can run it back and not have that hangover effect. You got Chicago making some moves, obviously, at the quarterback position. We're going to get into that. And Green Bay, maybe the youngest team in the NFL, could be ready to have that true breakout season with Jordan Love. He certainly looks like the answer. Who would have thought that the team that was going to be left in the dust is now the Minnesota Vikings, who's now searching for a quarterback?
Yeah, unless you believe Sam Darnold is your guy, they're definitely searching for a quarterback. We'll get into them a little bit later, but right. Yeah. Well, let's get into the Detroit Lions to start things off here on the show. The Lions have been busy. They've made a couple trades. They've also been signing some guys as well. Graham Glasgow, 3 years, $20 million returns to the Detroit Lions in free agency. Amik Robertson, cornerback, is signed a 2-year, $9.25 million deal. They did sign Marcus Davenport to a 1-year deal. That's a good addition to their edge group. Emmanuel Mosley re-signed. A trade for Carlton Davis was probably the big deal for them, and they traded with the Buccaneers to get in Carlton Davis. Then they did add DJ Reader and some other players along the offensive lines. Easy, but the Lions have some work to do. Where do they go early in the draft?
I think they need to consider looking at the offensive line. Where they're at, I don't know that you get a Graham Barton from Duke available. If Graham Barton is there, I think the team should consider Graham Barton highly at that point in the draft. I think he is going to be off the board at that point. Probably a little bit of a reach to take the next guys there, whether it be a Zach Zinner, a Cooper Beebe, someone like that, Christian Mahogany, other guys that are more day two prospects. But they have to address that. Since Jonah Jackson is now gone, they need to address that on the offensive line. That's what makes that offense work, that dominant offensive line. They need to add more depth there. I think that's a position they'll address at some point. First round, the Carlton Davis trade, by the way, was a great move by them because it opens up the draft. They aren't forced into taking a corner anymore because they had to address it. I still think they could use another one. I think they will add another one, but it doesn't have to be first round. If the top guys are off the board, they very easily could. They may go a different direction, but Nate Wiggins is a guy to keep an eye on. Ennis Breakstraw from Missouri, I think he may be an early round two guy at this point, but another guy, TJ Tampa's been rising on boards. There's guys in that position where they could maybe even trade back a few spots. If there's a team that wants to move up, say the Raiders want to move up for Michael Penix, or the Giants want to make a move into the back end of the first for a Bo Nix, and they decide to bring a guy like that in, Lions can move back into the early second, still get a corner of their choice, or maybe be in better position to draft another guard. That'd be where you get a better value for a Cooper Beebe or a Zinter. I think that's what would be the ideal spot for the Lions in the first round, but they still need to add to the secondary. Safety, could afford to add someone else. Lost Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. I know they did that. Brian Branch. Tyler Newbin is a name to keep an eye on at the back end of the first.
Absolutely. The Lions will be intriguing. This is a team with a lot of expectations now that will need to be living up to those. And I think that they've set themselves up very well contractually across the board. Their front office is doing a fantastic job getting them prepped for another run. And maybe, who knows, maybe they can get past the 49ers and get to the Super Bowl in 2024. This is a team to watch, a team that's going to be fighting tooth and nail for the top dog in the NFC North, though, is the Green Bay Packers with Jordan Love at quarterback. They made some splashy moves early. The first one, bringing in Josh Jacobs from the Raiders at 4 years, $48 million, replacing Aaron Jones with him. And then it sounds like AJ Dillon is going to re-sign with the Packers as kind of depth there for them. So one familiar face, but a new guy leading the charge there, Josh Jacobs. And then Xavier McKinney, one of the top safeties, if not the top safety in free agency, lands in Green Bay, a place that needed safety help in the worst way. This is a team that got better in the backfields of both sides of the football. Where do you see the Packers going, though, to help out Jordan Love and to continue their growth and development as a young team, the youngest team in the NFL, looking to get even younger in this draft class?
Well, the cupboard was pretty bare at safety. I think they could potentially add another safety that to pair with McKinney. You look at a guy like Cooper DeJean from Iowa. If he happens to fall that far, I think he's the guy that the Packers would love to have at this point. Obviously, just recently drafting Lucas Van Ness, you have the Iowa connection there. DeJean is a great athlete. Couldn't show off his skills at the combine. Best in zone, or you put him at safety, and sometimes he can come down, play a little bit closer to the line. That he can play in the box. He can play up high. One of the more versatile defensive backs in the draft, and you pair that with his athleticism, it's going to appeal to a lot of teams. So despite the fact he wasn't able to test for teams, I think a lot of teams are going to be really high on him, maybe more high on him than what we even expect because of that versatility and athleticism. But you look at that, pairing him with McKinney, put him at safety, that makes a lot of sense for Green Bay. We mentioned Newbin for the Lions. He could be another guy in play. One guy I would mention is just maybe someone who could be a linebacker for them that could, I'm going to try and kind of switch to linebacker here because they could afford to add some depth. And he's a guy I think would be a great fit for them in the middle rounds. And that would be Edifuan Ulufosio from Washington, guy who had a great combine, about 6 foot, 6 foot one, 236 pounds, has good instincts, shoots gaps quickly. He's a guy, a good developmental guy. When you got like the Oren Burks of the world and you got all these other guys that have been in the doors of Green Bay over the past few years, he is another guy that fits that mold that can just slowly develop, play some special teams early on, and develop a role for himself by year two. And you're looking at him at year three. Oh, this guy actually may be good enough to start for us. He's a guy that I think would be a really good fit for Green Bay. A great landing spot, maybe round three.
I agree. I think that this is a team that could use help specifically on defense. That's where they really need it. And I think Cooper DeJean has probably been one of the most mocked players to the Packers, as far as most mocked match, if you will, to a team. That they're very compatible group. And then obviously at linebacker there, where you are talking about, to me, the Packers are a unit that is so young that it might do them some good to add some more in free agency. We'll see how that continues to play out. They did make some other moves though as well to continue to build this roster, but an exciting young team. If you're a Packers fan, you are very excited about what this team could become in or as early as 2024 and beyond with this core of players. Andrew, let's move on to the Minnesota Vikings. Again, you talked about it at the start of the show. This is a team that for the biggest reason, losing Kirk Cousins, their quarterback in free agency to the Atlanta Falcons, is kind of a team going down while the other teams around them in this division are going up. Is it enough, though, to take them out of contention in this division with a good head coach, good staff there, and then Sam Darnold coming in was their big quarterback move? But let's talk about what they did on defense, too. Jonathan Greenard, 4 years, $76 million, edge rusher. Andrew Van Ginkle, an underrated edge rusher from Miami, coming in at 2 years, $20 million. Blake Cashman from the Texans is there on 3 years, $25.5 million. And then this is the team that picked up Aaron Jones from the Green Bay Packers. So this is a revenge-seeking player now in Minnesota, trying to get back at his old team. They did lands a couple wide receivers, some help on the offensive line. Where do you see the Vikings making a play early in the draft? And is quarterback the easy answer here?
I think it is. The fact that they accumulated a second first round pick just makes it feel as if they're making the move up for a quarterback. They've got their eye on someone. I don't know which quarterback it is, but if they get the sense that that fourth quarterback isn't the guy that they want, they're going to probably do what it takes to try to move up and get whoever the third guy is on the table. I could see Drake May being a really good fit for Minnesota. I think that would be an ideal landing spot for him, having immediate weapons in Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson. It's a good landing spot for him. And when you're looking to say JJ McCarthy, because that's the big debate right now, I'm hearing a lot of mixed opinions. Who's going to go third? Who's going to go fourth? I think there's a high probability JJ McCarthy surpasses Drake May is regardless where we have them ranked. I have Drake May still rated a little bit higher. It's not a huge differential, but I do have him rated higher. And I think he has a little bit more prototypical size. And I believe there's maybe a few less questions in certain areas of his game. While there are maybe more accuracy issues, things that are going to need to develop, I think there is more upside in just his physical attributes. While I do think McCarthy has high upside as well, he's not quite as ready. May, despite his inconsistency this past year, has played a lot of football, is a little bit more experienced than McCarthy, and would be more ready to step into the situation that doesn't really have a true starting quarterback on the roster. You have Sam Darnold. And maybe they bring back Josh Dobbs if he becomes available to them, and they just, you know, hey, like, let's bring back Josh Dobbs just for the fun of it. They've got to add something at quarterback. Yes, there are positions that they could address. The secondary still needs some work. They could afford to add depth along the interior of the offensive line. Even wide receiver depth, they lost KJ Osborne. I think that's a position they could look at in the middle rounds of the draft. But quarterback first round, I've got to think they're going to make a move up. I think Drake May would be the ideal fit for them. JJ McCarthy has a lot of upside. He's going to work his tail off. He's going to come in and do everything that you ask him to do. But if you're looking for the best fit for Minnesota, I've got to think that if the Vikings are not sold on the fact that New England is set on either one of those two guys, and they could potentially be talked out pick three, maybe they call New England and they're saying, hey, if you don't have a major preference between the two, we do, and we're going to go up and get our guy. We'll give you such and such picks to do so. Maybe they're okay with the fourth, but they don't want somebody else leapfrogging them. So they're okay with either McCarthy or May, but they're going to have to move up to six or maybe seven to do it just to make sure that nobody leapfrogs them.
Yeah. Is there a world where they just kind of stick with their two first round picks and then maybe they take a Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr. with that newly acquired 23rd overall pick?
I suppose it's possible, but typically when teams take a quarterback, I mean, we saw the Giants with Daniel Jones, they had two first round picks that year. A lot of people, including myself, thought they were going to take him at pick 17. They took him at six because they don't want to risk out losing on the guy. If you're sold on one specific guy, you don't take risks losing them because it's the quarterback position. That's just, I understand the philosophy, and I kind of agree with the philosophy of you need to rank players based upon where they belong to go so that you don't risk overdrafting players regardless of position. But the NFL is a copycat league. They're always looking for the best available, and there's not a great supply of quarterbacks right now as opposed to the demand. There's going to be a couple teams that probably aren't going to have great quarterback play this upcoming year because there's not enough to go around. So I would say if I'm Minnesota, there's not really a scenario where I wouldn't be taking a quarterback at this point. You're not going to have one of those top four fall to you, and the Vikings knew that. I guess the question would be, why else would they be trying to add a second first-round pick? The value just wouldn't have presented itself in the trade because they're going to have to use that to trade up again, and they're losing a lot of draft capital in the process.
Yeah, absolutely. It does make sense that they would make a play early for that quarterback. A little bit later in the draft, they're probably going to talk about cornerbacks. Again, wide receiver, like you mentioned, there's some room for improvement at many positions for the Minnesota Vikings. One thing I wouldn't count out for this team, though, they are very well coached, and I think that this is a team on both sides of the ball that can rely on that coaching to improve to elevate their level of play. And just as an aside here, I think that the Vikings probably see Sam Darnold in a little bit higher facet than you do, Andrew. Maybe I think they might see him as, if not a stopgap starting option at quarterback, a guy who can at least get them into the season before having to throw the rookie into the fire. We'll see how that plays out for the Vikings. Now, Andrew, let's talk about the team everybody's talking about because they control the draft, and that is the Chicago Bears. This team is set to swing the draft in a big way, one way or the other. Now, with the Steelers' recent acquisition of Justin Fields from the Bears, it does seem like the Bears are kind of locked in to Caleb Williams with that first overall pick. Is there a world where somebody talks them out of number one overall, Washington, the New York Giants, maybe the Patriots, if they want to trade up and get Williams? Is there a world where Williams is not the pick for the Bears early in this draft?
I don't think there's any way that they're talked out of number one, but I think they could talk themselves out of Caleb Williams. If he decides that, you know, he is confident in his medicals and that he doesn't need to give them to the Chicago Bears, that could cause a problem. If they don't like his attitude when he comes to visit the team and that their communications over him are just, we have some concerns about this guy and is how all in will he be to this restructure of the roster? Maybe he isn't all in, doesn't want to be there. You don't want your quarterback to be like that. I think personally, I have Jaden Daniels rated higher. He's my number one quarterback, not by a bunch, but with Caleb Williams, I have concerns about his attitude, his will, his drive. He's had everything handed to him on a silver platter in college. And I'm not saying that as a critique of him. I mean, he had the opportunity. He had took advantage of the opportunity to get NIL money at two different schools. I mean, I'm not saying he's wrong for that. It's legal. It's not like it was an illegal thing he was doing. Yeah. I'm just saying he's never been faced with a ton of adversity during his time in college. And he didn't take that team to the next level. And when we saw him, you know, we saw him crying in the game, obviously is an emotional loss, but you just got to wonder how mentally tough is this guy? And I've got concerns about that. And that's why I have Jaden Daniels rated higher. I would strongly consider the Chicago Bears to look into their options at one. I think that he's a guy that has Jaden Daniels and JJ McCarthy. Even I think they have higher floors than Caleb Williams. While they may not have quite the elite upside, I think the upside is close because the Patrick Mahomes comparisons, you got to throw that out. Nobody's Patrick Mahomes. I don't care how talented this guy is. You can't just say, oh yeah, I see a lot of Patrick Mahomes in this guy. Patrick Mahomes has the greatest instincts of any quarterback maybe to ever play in the NFL. Caleb Williams is not on that level. So I think that he is someone who could change the Bears organization in quick order. And I think that he's two they'll probably take because they don't want to get fired the next day. But I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. I say it's 95% chance to take Caleb Williams, 5% chance there's another quarterback, but 0% chance they move out of one.
Okay, so they're locked into one. I think that immediately Caleb Williams becomes the highest profile quarterback ever to play for the Chicago Bears. And that is not a stretch of the imagination. Maybe even the most talented quarterback to ever play for the Chicago Bears as soon as he is drafted. They made a lot of moves in free agency too, with the thought process that this is their guy. Or at least a quarterback early is their guy to take them to new heights. The trade for Keenan Allen with the Chargers, low cost to them. They get a proven wide receiver to pair with DJ Moore. That's a good duo for any quarterback to walk into. Cornerback Jalen Johnson re-signs with the team on an extension after they put the franchise tag on him. So they're active there. They get one of the best cornerbacks in the league re-signed to the team. DeAndre Swift was their very early free agency move, adding at the running back position. And then just reading through some of these names, offensive lineman Ryan Bates in a trade, tight end Gerald Everett, safety Kevin Byard, safety Jonathan Owens. Let's see, a couple offensive linemen, and then you've got a couple more wide receivers. They're building a pretty solid roster here, Andrew. So I think the question then becomes, if Caleb Williams is the guy at one, what position are they going at with or going after with number nine? Because they did add Keenan Allen. That shouldn't preclude them from taking a wide receiver, Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze, if they're available there. But they could also go offensive line to help solidify that front unit in front of their new quarterback.
Yeah, I would be a proponent of the offensive line. And I was a proponent of that even before the Allen addition, just because the receiver class is so deep and they had DJ Moore there already. Now you have Keenan Allen in the short term. I wouldn't be opposed to them taking a wide receiver there and just really giving a quarterback a ton of weapons. I think the best thing for a rookie quarterback's not going to be great at going through his progressions anyways, in most instances. Caleb Williams is still going to be coming from kind of an air raid college system under Lincoln Riley, and he didn't have to do a bunch of going through third and fourth progression. So bringing in all these receivers are great, but he's probably not going to be able to get through that many progressions anyways. Have a couple good bona fide weapons. The Bears have that now. You can add someone on day two. But at pick nine, whether it be Olufashinu, whether that be if I'm the Bears, I wouldn't be opposed to trading up for Joe Alt.
Yeah.
I think if he's sitting there at pick six and you're looking at the teams that, you know, need a tackle, the Giants could be in play for Alt, but I think the Titans at pick seven could definitely be there. I think the one other position they could take if Dallas Turner falls would be edge rusher. They could consider him as a speed rusher off the edge, pair with Montez Sweat. Not sure if he's the exact scheme fit for them, but the Bears have options. If you trade down, you could get a Leiatu Latu. You could trade down and get an Amarius Mims, a guy that we've talked about. There's a lot of different options the Bears have because of the good trade they made last year with Carolina and got all this compensation back in return. Now they're cashing in, getting their quarterback that they want. And as much as the Fields trades doesn't make sense and it's going to aggravate a lot of Bears fans, they at least know that they have options. And they have options to turn this around extremely, extremely quick.
Yes, absolutely. If Caleb Williams comes in and plays to the level that I believe many in the organization, many across the league think he can right away, this is a team to reckon with in 2024. I think they're building out a really nice roster here. And with their bevy of picks, I think that they can even solidify it more so as we approach the 2024 regular season. All right, Andrew, that's going to do it for us here on the FFSN NFL Draft Preview Show, breaking down the NFC North. Next week, we're going to go dive into the AFC and NFC East divisions, and we're going to break those down just like we're doing here, the early pick options for these teams based on their free agency moves. So that is kind of what we're doing here for the next few weeks on this show. And then as we get closer to the draft, we'll break down some more mock drafts. We'll get a little bit more in depth into how this thing is going to lay out and play out in the end. We hope you'll stay tuned here on the FFSN NFL feed for all of your NFL needs. We are going to be here with plenty of content for you. So that's going to do it for us. We'll see you next time here on the FFSN NFL Draft Preview.